Well, some say be the change you want to see in the world. I found something better, so I'll walk with you and laugh with you. Whatever the weather, when you looked me in the eye, smiled, said hello. Something woke up, and what do you know? No one's shaking me this way. You're the only one I adore. You're the change I've been waiting for. Well, just like the earth circles the sun, sunshine circles you. And it's so easy to love you.
Yeah, you know what? I was on audition. So let me introduce myself again. My name is Kelly. You're listening to 102.7 CFRO Co-op Radio, and I am here with your regular host,
Ann Jameson with Investing in Health.
And that was Tamara Nile you were listening to at my table. So we're going to start the show today with...
with the theme song from Ann Feeney.
All right. Here it comes.
Listen up. We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon's solidarity. Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers.
Don't you know what to say?
War on the workers.
When they talk privatization,
war on the workers.
And cooperation,
war on the workers.
When they call you a team,
war on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war. Flexibility.
War on the workers.
Every working stiff can see.
War on the workers.
Now when they poison your water.
War on the workers.
Don't go like lambs to the slaughter.
War on the workers.
And when they foul up the air.
War on the workers.
You gotta show that you care.
War on the workers.
When they talk WTO.
War on the workers.
You best be screaming hell no.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on child labor protection. It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on social security. Now thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time, sisters and brothers, you know it's time right now. I said it's time. We started calling the shots.
It was Ann Feeney, War on the Workers. Time we started calling the shots, Ann.
Yes, that sounds like a good, it's a good suggestion in every way we can.
So, that means, what are we starting the show with? We have, I think we're going to go right into an interview. I'm
right.
A little loopy today, I'm just going to hang back.
Okay, December 2nd, as many of the listeners may know, was an international day. A vigil was held all over the world for the people of Gaza, mm-hmm. Palestinian people who have been under attack and are really
for a long time.
Yeah, and really suffering a lot of privations, and it's got to a really crisis level. So I was at the vigil, and I interviewed Stephen Aberley. Mm-hmm. So maybe we could listen to that now.
Well, we should just go ahead then and sure. do that.
Yeah, it's 4 minutes to five, so yeah, we'll wrap up.
Okay. I'm talking to, Hi, can you tell me a little bit about this demonstration, what it's called for?
Yes, this is a demonstration against the siege of Gaza. It was called by a number of groups in Vancouver, including the Canada-Palestine Support Network, StopWar.ca, Jews for a Just Peace, and a number of other groups endorsed it, including the Palestine Community Center and the Canada-Palestine Association.
Can you tell me what the situation in Gaza is right now?
Yes, it's devastating. For months, the Israeli army has been bombarding Gaza, and hundreds of people have been killed. Only a few days ago, the streets of Gaza were literally, in parts of Gaza, in Beit Hanun, for example, were literally running with blood. Many, many innocent civilians killed, many of them children. Beyond that state of total devastating violence, there has been effectively an economic siege of all of the Palestinian people, all of the Palestinians living under occupation, since the Palestinian elections earlier this year.
They elected Hamas, I believe. Is that right?
The majority members elected to the Palestinian Legislative Council were Hamas members, and for that reason, many countries, Canada shamefully among the first of them, cut off all of the aid that they were giving to the Palestinian Authority, which means that government workers in Palestine, that is, teachers, hospital workers, people who fix the streets, people who collect the garbage and make sure that the water keeps running, have been without pay for about 9 months.
So needless to say, this has affected the healthcare system, among other systems in the Gaza Strip. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yes. Actually, when I was in Palestine and Israel about 3 weeks ago, we heard from a British doctor who had been spending time working with Palestinian healthcare workers. The situation in the hospitals is terrible. The doctors have been working without pay for months. How they survive, heaven only knows. I think sometimes they get given payment in kind, like people will give them food, and they're just, you know, they have taken an oath to keep people's health going, so they continue to work. But supplies are wretched, and the military devastation of Gaza has been really quite horrendous. So not only are they dealing with understaffed and under-equipped hospitals, particularly in Gaza, but they're also dealing with horrific injuries. So it is very, very bad. And ordinary day-to-day health care is extremely difficult, never mind about horrible injuries. In the West Bank, for example, it's very difficult for ordinary Palestinians simply to travel from one town to the next. So if you don't live in a city with a hospital, and you are a pregnant woman who is having a baby, or you are someone who just needs to, say, get to the hospital for your chemotherapy, or you have an injury and you need to be cared for, you could get to a checkpoint and find that, sorry, today is not your day to go to the hospital. Well, that can be deadly, and in many cases, unfortunately, it is.
And there must be other health implications as well. I mean, this assault on a population necessarily must result in other illnesses as well as injuries and death.
Yes.
Say the least.
The water situation in all of the occupied territories, especially in Gaza, but also in the West Bank, is extremely difficult. Palestinians are not given access to their share, to the water that is in the aquifers below the West Bank.
Yeah, we had a little taste a couple of weeks ago of what it's like to not have the government be able to take responsibility or to be able to take responsibility for when water fails.
Yeah, well, so imagine not only the turbidity that we were dealing with a little while ago, but imagine that you only got water, like your taps only ran, say, a couple of days every 2 weeks. And in between those times, you might be able to buy water from a truck, or you might not. And it was just going to be kind of up to you to figure out where you were going to get water and how safe it was going to be and what you were going to do with it. The quality of water in the Gaza Strip is extremely poor because it's very low-lying and it's very close to the ocean, and therefore the water gets, there's a lot of salinity and there are a lot of chemicals in it. Parents have terrible choices to make. Am I going to give my child water that may be contaminated with chemicals that over years is going to damage my child, perhaps lead to cancer? Or am I going to give my child water that may not have as many chemicals, but that may have a disease, you know, bacteria in it that will give the child a dire disease tomorrow? And the same questions for myself.
What are the call of the organizations who have called this demonstration today, this vigil? What are their calls for what should be done?
We are specifically asking the Canadian government to make a clear statement that the devastation that has been wreaked on Gaza is wrong, and the occupation is wrong, and to start to take steps to make Canada's support for human rights and for international law clear. The government under Stephen Harper has abdicated its responsibility in that department and has simply declared blanket endorsement of every action undertaken by the Israeli government. So when the Israeli government conducts a massacre in Cana in Lebanon or a massacre in the Gaza Strip, we just hear Mr. Harper like a puppet mouthing the words right to defend themselves, right to defend themselves, as if that is a right to take innocent civilian lives. We think that Canada's government should have an informed, intelligent, and legal position, and we demand that they take such a position.
Other Canadians who are listening to this, how may they get involved and show their support?
Write your MP. Go on the website and Google Members of Parliament Canada, find out who your MP is, and write to that person and say that you support human rights in Palestine and Israel and that you oppose the occupation. And ask your MP, what is he or she doing to promote human rights in that part of the world? You can learn more about the situation there by going to any number of websites. A couple that I would suggest are stopwar.ca, canpalnet.ca, and jewsforajustpeace.com. But, you know, there are many, many, you'll find links on those websites to other places that you can go for more information if you feel that you need to be further educated about the situation.
Thank you very much for telling our listeners about this.
Okay, we're back. 102.7 CFRO Co-op Radio. And you did that interview, so what are your thoughts on that?
Right. Well, that was Stephen Aberley, and wow. The situation is really awful in Gaza, you know, what with their water and their health and everything. Should I read out? There's an emergency resolution by the Canadian Peace Alliance. How about if I read that out, eh?
Sure.
Okay, it says, whereas there have been numerous attacks on civilians in Gaza, including the tank shelling of the residential neighborhood of Beit Hanun, Gaza Strip, killing at least 18 people, including 8 children in their sleep, whereas this is part of an ongoing military campaign by the government of Israel, which has killed hundreds of civilians in Gaza this year, therefore, be it resolved that the Canadian Peace Alliance member groups called on the government of Canada to condemn the government of Israel and call for an end to all attacks on the people of Gaza. Be it further resolved that this Canadian Peace Alliance calls on all member groups to prepare for a response to this ongoing humanitarian crisis and mobilize emergency demonstrations to end the killing. Be it further resolved that the CPA supports the International Day of Action called on December 2nd, 2006. So that's what that was part of. And they had candles kind of lined on the steps of the art gallery with the words, end the siege, and handed out pamphlets. And, you know, and so there was quite a lot of discussion among people who would stop to ask what this was about, including I personally talked with one fellow from Israel, you know, who was really interested in
ongoing.
Yeah.
It's like so... It's like, why do we do keep coming out to rallies? What's the solution?
Well, I guess Stephen Aberle suggested a few things that people should do. I think one has to show support and show resistance and kind of get together in your collective so that you're not kind of overwhelmed by all this horrible news. You know, you have a collective that... shows its support altogether. I think that is more empowering than just, you know, sitting at home and hearing.
Well, I guess it's really important to raise awareness of what's going on, because most people, and even though everybody gets big chunks of mainstream news every day, they're just getting usually a very selected perspective.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess we're due for a quarter time break, are we?
Already?
Time has flown.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
Why do all the answers come as quickly as they leave? There's just something not quite right here, and I've tried the blue pill and I've had my share of the red. But nothing can ease this itch at the back of my head. Oh, what a clever trick to pull the wool over our eyes. Tell us to wait patiently until we're dead to get the better life. Well, I guess they meant it when they said that. Cause it's all the same things I see around me, waiting to wake up to find out it's not what it's all supposed to be about. So talk about it, never stop questioning that funny feeling all around. Days go by, turn on the TV and get a life for a little while, or escape it all to find the truth hurts, but it's still better than living a lie. So talk about it, never stop questioning.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're listening to Blue Monday. I'm Joni here with you live on Monday, November the 14th of the year 2005, till 4 o'clock this afternoon on a great...
Okay, that was supposed to be a show promo, but turned it to be a recorded show. And then before that, we heard Sarah Marlowe and Ask the Right Question. The right question. That's actually something I've been thinking about, is asking the right question, because sometimes I guess if we're not asking the right question, how can we get the right answer?
Yeah, yeah, there's certainly something to that for sure.
Like in every sort of day life.
Yeah.
Like even, you know, big problems, small problems, mm-hmm. anything, relationships.
Yeah. I think the kind of question you ask, in the question you ask is kind of the seeds of your, what you think the solution should be.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it forms the answer. The answer forms around the question. Mm-hmm. Why don't I? Why doesn't this? Why not, not, not? We're creating the, you know, or we can be seeing it and say, how do I do this? How do I change that? Can we, you know?
Mm-hmm. It sort of gives a framework for, mm-hmm. for whatever action, if any, that you're going to take, right?
So is it an empowered question or is it disempowered? Is it you have any control in the question? So reshape your questions and then reshape your reality.
That is quite a deep philosophical statement, I think,
right.
or questions that you're talking about.
But I have questions, and I have dual answers, and they both seem to be right, but yet they contradict each other at the same time. And sometimes, you know, this is like off-tangent, and it's not related to investing in health. But, you know, when I was a kid, there was this cartoon on called, I don't know what it was called, but it was a line drawing show, and it was, I know my name is Simon, and I like to do drawings or something, and I know my name is Simon and everything I draw comes true. Take me, take me, take me over, climb the ladder with you. And he used to draw these drawings and people would climb over and they would come to life. And it's happened to me numerous times where I've made pictures and they've actually come about. Even when they're the exact, not the, see, so there's something that's forming and it's almost like the question's being answered. And so it was right. But at the same time, there's the exact dualism of that where I know that the opposite answer is also right.
Well, you're an artist, so that would, you know, I can just see that would come through in a picture, which just reminds me, too, that we did have an art therapist this moment remembered, and she does art therapy with seniors, and we're going to ask her to come back on the show.
That would be great.
Yeah. Well, December 2nd, you know, was the international, was an international day, to support the people of Gaza under siege. It was also in Vancouver, and I think in other parts of Canada as well, an event to commemorate the women who were massacred in Montreal December 6th.
And tomorrow. What year was that, Anne?
Was that 10 or 13 years
ago? It was long.
Yeah.
It was more than 10, probably 13.
Yeah, least. Something like that.
Wow.
And so at the Vancouver Public Library, they had all day events. It was going from 10 in the morning to about five or so. They had dialogues where they would have a circle of women activists talking
right.
on certain topics, and you could choose to go to one of those. There were about three or four of those, or you could go to some talks. One was called Hypersexualization of Women and Teens, and there were other ones, and there were also films. So it was a really good event, and in the future we're going to have interviews with some of those women who were talking, because it's very well worth listening. But I just I thought this kind of fits in with your point you're bringing up about the question you ask.
Right.
Some of the dialogues, they had to do with prostitution. The first one was prostitution as violence against women. The second one was how to safeguard women without entrenching prostitution. Third one was racism and prostitution. And I think the last one had to do with globalization. But during the middle one, or the second one, I should say, that was how to safeguard women without entrenching prostitution, there were a lot of... the women were talking and making some very thought-provoking comments and analysis. And then about three women walked in wearing signs saying, "We are prostitutes, we're sex workers. Why haven't you invited us to the table?"
Huh.
And so, you know...
And where did this invite go out to, though? Like, you know, the people that were there, did they actually get invited, or was it just a general meeting and whoever was interested could come?
No, anybody could come and be part of the audience and then afterwards ask questions of the people there. But the way it had been set up was, it was a dialogue. For instance, in the particular one I'm talking about, I guess there were about, must have been 15, 16 women kind of sitting in a circle, and they're all women activists, some from rape relief, some from different. One was a treaty negotiator for First Nations. There was somebody from, it was Anne Livingston from Vandu.
Right.
Drug. So there were a lot.
I think she was on this show. She was on many months ago.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's very articulate. Mm-hmm. So they had a lot of things to say, but I guess, and there was another woman from Sweden. I don't remember her name right now, but she had some position with the Swedish government to investigate the zones, the safe zones and red light districts.
Well, and there's many areas where it's legal, but beyond that, or it's decriminalized and it's supported. It's a supported trade, so it can be done safely and, I guess, in a healthier way for people who choose it. But obviously, so there's more than one reality. There's many people that are forced into that lifestyle, not by choice at all.
Yeah.
You know, and many people that are drug addicted. So obviously, those weren't the women who were... the women that came in that were all for it.
No, and this Swedish woman was actually painting quite a very dire picture of what these safe zones and red light districts were like. I mean, not pleasant places. I mean, there would be places where they're almost like horse stalls that cars would drive into, and it was not very pleasant.
It's like fast food sex.
Yeah. Right, yeah, consumerism. That was one of the points actually brought up by some of the women. So,
And some people probably choose that, and that's okay if that's your choice and you're doing it, you know, without harming people, I guess, or whatever. Yeah. If it's your conscious choice, hopefully, but there's a lot of people out there where it's not the choice.
Yeah, I guess that's the question, to ask. Is it their choice? Is it an actual choice, or are they being forced into it? It's called survival sex work, I think is the term they use. For people who are actually forced into it from poverty and drug addiction and all those kinds of things, so that you can't really say it is a choice.
No, and there is some prey out there who do, you know, find very vulnerable women, get them hooked on a drug. And it's not just women, it happens to men too, so that's not discriminating against the men too. So, and they get hooked on a drug and then they're spiraling down into that lifestyle.
Yeah. Some other issues came up about housing and jobs. Mm-hmm. Somebody who worked in the downtown east side was describing how it had become an emergency shelter during the cold snap.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it was just so unhealthy because people coughing and there was no, it was just awful. And she said, in addition to that, she said you would hear boyfriends or whatever pounding on the windows saying, you know, come out and do your thing so that, I can pay for my drug shot. So it was, it was really, I would say, a reality check for anyone who isn't aware of how things are going on.
And it's just, there's so many realities that are so far removed from other realities. Like people that actually live that continually, every day in, day out, and people that are in the Gaza living that day in, day out, people in different countries that are living things day in, day out. It's a little bit overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, you know? to think about that, and I'm sure that this woman who was talking about how she was doing the volunteer work in the downtown east side, she looked like, you know, somebody's certainly overwhelmed by the situation of seeing the immensity of this misery, I guess you could say. She said they were barely surviving. So,
And now the big rage is this movie, The Secret. The Secret. It's on all the talk shows, and everybody's passing it around, and it's how we manifest our own reality with our thoughts, right? And I believe that to a large degree happens over and over again. I've seen it a million trillion times, but there's a lot of people, and the thing about it that bothers me is there's a lot of people right now that aren't not empowered in any way, and it's based on our lifestyles here. in this area, in these places, in these developed countries, or, you know, and even regions over there in other places in the world that are really highly developed, that are just capitalizing at anybody's expense. It doesn't allow people to have empowerment. So it's not just so easy for somebody to create their reality with their thoughts, when reality is there's nothing to create. You know, yeah. How do you create that? And so, but I think it's continually giving information. So I've been feeling a little bit hiding away and wanting to withdraw, but I'm going off tangent again. Anne, tell me if this is true. I've been having like really bad bouts. I don't know what it is. I don't like giving labels, but mentally not well. But, you know, at the same time, I'm okay and happy. But I haven't ate potatoes in ages, and I've went and bought some potatoes, and I've been eating potato skins for like a few days, and I feel better. Is there something in the potato skins that's helping my mental health, Anne?
Well, I know there's what comes to mind is vitamin C. There's vitamin C in potato skins, and also minerals, you know, especially if it's organic and not really overcooked. Those would be a couple of things that you'd be getting.
Well, I'm thanking God and potato skins for my instant healing.
Well, that's good. Well, I credit much of my mental well-being nowadays to what I call my miracle breakfast. I just discovered oats. Hulled oats, not the rolled oats, but the hulled kind.
Well, that's
cooked them a long, long, long time, have them with raisins, and have that with my green smoothie in the morning, and I'm set.
It's a powerful breakfast.
It is.
We can make those choices. Unfortunately, there's many people around that can't. And now, talking about that, at this time of month, the biggest consumerism push of all, so everybody can top up their year-end budgets or whatever their year-end, these corporations. You know, it's just, it's craziness, because it's everybody that's out there that happens to be on their way to a shopping mall right now to buy some piece of plastic junk to give to somebody who's just, it's going to break the next day, or who doesn't really want it. It's not really a good gift, I don't think. I think we really need to think about our choices.
Right, and people feel driven, don't they? Like,
guilt.
To buy all this stuff.
It's automatic. It's automatically assumed that we're going to go and pump all of our money and put a whole bunch of debt into buying stuff for Christmas. Some people love it, and that's great, but I would just ask them to make conscious choices. I myself, I'm not doing it. I might get, you know, I'll get my children a small gift or something and spend time with them and have a meal. They'll probably go to their dad's for the day, but I'm so not into the big Christmas thing. I can't even handle the pressure of it, the thought of it, you know?
Yeah.
So there's people struggling with that and feeling guilty.
Right.
I don't know.
There's a lot of people that don't celebrate Christmas, too. We've got to take that into account, you know, and not kind of just assume that everybody's into this.
Many are, though.
I wanted to point out, Kelly, just before we leave the, you know, the Remember Me events, that there is a rally called Remember Me, an event memorializing the Montreal Massacre.
Oh,
and it's Wednesday, 6:30, in front of the Vancouver Public Library.
That's tomorrow.
Right, that's tomorrow.
Tomorrow at
6:30. So I'm going to go. I urge everybody to go if they, you know, if they're able and they want to.
Yeah. Yep.
So I guess we're due for another break pretty
already?
Soon. Station identification. Time is flying.
Well, we'll try a station, a PSA again or something. Last time it didn't happen.
Climate change, disappearing species, worried about the environment? Tune in to the new Green Voice of Vancouver, 1 o'clock Fridays, for Radio EcoShock, only on CFRO 102.7 Co-op Radio. Activism from BC and around the world, news, music, and interviews about our threatened planet. Find out what you can do about it. Radio EcoShock, Fridays, 1 o'clock on 102.7 FM Co-op Radio.
We're back on 102.7 CFRO Co-op Radio,
investing in health.
That was a really quick break.
Yeah. Well, should we play a song or should we just continue on?
I could talk and talk and talk. No. We could play a song after I get it queued up. But
you were saying that we should have a male voice singing.
We should. Well, we'll play a Joey only. And I just wanted to remind everybody, I know it's not announcement time, but, you know, this pointless consumerism, there is a play being put on this month, a satirical musical theater extravaganza. The Workless Party presents Church of Pointless Consumerism. And that's
Church of Pointless Consumerism.
Yes.
Gee, that sounds good. Is it a comedy?
Well, they put light into everything they do.
Satirical musical extravaganza.
You know, and I don't know. I felt
that
like going
like
to
fun.
The mall
when is
and
it?
Doing a little bit. I'm not. I just people, yeah, pointless consumers and filling up buggies and buggies and buggies of stuff at Walmart, you know.
So when is that?
Oh, sorry, it's the 15th, Friday the 15th, 16th, 17th of December. Doors at 8 a.m., or 8 p.m. It's a really early show. 8 p.m. next weekend, not... So December 15th, 16th, 17th. And it's $10 or $10 for students, seniors, and artists. I'd probably think that'd be a great show, and you might want to get out and see that one.
Yeah, a little kind of light, comic relief, eh? Or satirical relief.
Satire. And I think, you know, it gives us cause to think about what we're doing. I know Walmart, again, just took over something in India. It made a deal with a big,
right.
huge businessman in India.
Right,
so,
did.
You know, where, I don't know, there's some more factory pollutants and cheap labor to make a whole bunch of plastic junk.
It's a cultural thing, too.
Oh, I'm being negative. I'm not being negative. I'm raising awareness. So a couple of weeks ago, also did a show on Sound Resistance about the big corporations doing, you know, the do-good things. And then I seen it on a big news article on it the other day about how these big corporations are doing these do-good things, but are they really doing good, or are they just, you know, saying, hey, look at what we're doing, when really...
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, does Walmart creating a green Walmart store, which means it's sustained, like it's, you know, made of a lot of recycled materials, or recycles the water or something,
mm-hmm.
uses solar panels or alternative sorts of energy. So does that mean they're doing something really great? Or do we still go, hey, Walmart's okay now? Now we can shop there. It doesn't matter that the five people that own before now, whatever, the people that own Walmart own as much money as, like, the gross domestic product of, like, 50 different countries put together.
Wow. And the people that make those items that they sell are just barely surviving.
Well, they're making very small peanuts, right? And so what choice they have, like, in the iPod factories in China, and we talked about this before, but the red thing, the red campaign by Bono, you know? So when you go and buy those products, which are all major corporations like Gap and... I think Reebok, I don't know, the iPod, all these different companies that you can buy red products from. I'm just recommending people don't buy any products from these companies, because they employ huge amounts of slave labor and huge, massive amounts of environmental destruction. I think maybe people should buy each other plants for Christmas. Hey?
Yeah, well,
if you're celebrating,
plants are always nice. Yeah, if you're celebrating it.
How could you go wrong with a plant?
Yeah. That reminds me, are we going to hear another song now, Joey Olney, for our break, and then we'll come back?
We'll listen to him. Do we
talk about some health news, or maybe we'll continue this discussion about consumerism.
Okay. I just don't know what song to play. Live and Learn?
That sounds like a good one.
Sure. Well, no, it's a little bit long in. It's 6 minutes.
Well, we could just play half of it.
Well, let's play a punk song with Joey and Effigy, protest song. On 102.7 CFRO Co-op Radio.
Show up with your picket signs. Red S or God voice. Think to yourself that you actually have a choice. State your opinion, protest the peace. Show the opposition that you want peace. Burn the fucking flag. With the extent of the police. A million people got their guns. One will have to stand for the blood. From a gun, it'll make your voices louder. It'll make us that dollar. This is a protest.
Okay, that was Protest Song by Joey Olney and the Effigy.
Well, I just wanted add to what you were saying, you know, about the, what is it, do-good corporatism. The question of charity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was at an event, it was actually a union event yesterday, nurses, BCNU. And while they're doing a lot of good things, like a lot of public events, get-togethers and that, people are encouraged to bring cans of food for the food bank or socks for the homeless and all this. And, you know, I was thinking, or actually didn't just think, I just said, you know, charity, you know, an act of charity may make the person feel better who is saying, well, gee, now I don't have to think about
I've
that
given
anymore.
Some socks, the burden is released.
Yeah.
I can shop free.
Right. But, you know, like it doesn't empower the recipient of charity. I remember reading an article by a woman who at one point in her life had been the recipient of charity, and she said, there is nothing so cold as charity.
Hmm.
You know? So
right. It's
a do-good thing. I think it makes the person feel good, and maybe massages a...
At the same time, though.
Conscience.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, the cheerful giver, I don't know. It is good to give, though, but when you're doing it, make sure that you're aware of the causes that are creating the problem in the first place. So if you really want to give, stop contributing to those problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to go on an Oprah rant. I think she's a beautiful person. We have the same genetic eye bags. Anyhow, she does these good shows. I know absolutely her intention is good. It radiates out of her. You know, I believe it. She's got a good heart. I have no doubt about her intention being good. But the thing that she has on her show, the gifts that she gives away, and the audience gets so giddy to find out they've won a $1,000 credit card that really, that credit card is on the New York Stock Exchange, and all the interest in that is going into a war economy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's people being bombed for this credit card that we're all getting all excited about, or the gifts, $1,000 gifts, or the clothes that they get. And it's like, why are you promoting these products and corporations, Oprah, when you're trying to help change the world? Don't give a big plug or push to a giant corporation because they're doing something good. When you look at the other side of it, when you invert the picture, you can see the direct cause of a whole bunch of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what are these entities? Like, the movie The Corporation was really good. And how it identified a corporation.
I haven't seen that yet.
Really? Well, mm-hmm. It identifies the corporation as a legal entity. It has rights. It has more rights than a human being as a legal entity. A corporation does.
Mm-hmm.
And the only goal of a corporation is profit at any expense. It doesn't matter why or what, mm-hmm. as long as it's profiting. And so, and our states and our governments are corporations too.
Mm-hmm.
But, how do these things come into existence? The only reason they have any power, well, and I know the only reason I can't say it's all because we choose to buy into it and purchase it and allow it. I mean, that's a huge part of it, but there's more to it than that. There's more of the election things and things that people don't allow, like, you know, the whole Bush administration coming in and giving the whole Halliburton Enron scandal and all of the building in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
you know, that really seems to be out of people's control. Can
mm-hmm.
we control that by where we shop? I don't know. But all I know is, you know, pointless consumerism is a huge problem on the earth.
Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like an addiction. You know, in relation to what you're saying, and we mentioned this before the show,
mm-hmm.
Corporations, you know, in relation to corporations and privatization of health. As you know, there was this urgent care center that they're trying to open up, the very first privately owned urgent care center.
And they're trying to open, or was it open? And they've had some
they
patients.
Did open it. They did open it, but there was kind of a compromise reached. I've got a little note here from somebody in the Council of Canadians who was instrumental in... Well, he was one of the many people who were organizing a rally and organizing a letter writing campaign, and then a rally in front of that on the day of that urgent care center on Friday, the day of its opening.
Raising awareness, because that's what matters.
Yeah. He was saying thanks and kudos to every one of you who took the time to express your concerns. About 500 letters have been sent in the first 3 days of this campaign. It has indeed opened. However, following negotiations over the weekend with BC Health Minister George Abbott, the clinic will not charge patients for its emergency services and will receive payments for them from the province's public insurance plan. This is not a perfect solution, as we're witnessing the birth of a new private for-profit clinic instead of a public not-for-profit clinic. On the other hand, an imminent threat to Medicare has been avoided for now. So that's, you know, one of the many privatization initiatives that's been started, and not coincidentally, during this conversation on health that the BC government has started, where people call it, what is it, an illusion of... I forget, at the December 2nd event at Vancouver Public Library, an illusion of consultation, right? That was what Cynthia Lowe said. She was one of these people taking part in the dialogue.
Well, yeah. And what happened with the... there was a clinic, a private clinic, that actually had taken patients, and then it was deemed, what, unconstitutional? I don't know. I'm not too big on the news. I don't get newspapers. I don't have TV. But the little blurb that I did take in about it was that any billing that they had charged, because it was a private clinic, it was operating as a private clinic, so therefore taking people with money,
mm-hmm.
but they weren't allowed to charge in the end because it was found that we can't do that. You can't take people because they have money over the people who don't, not in this country yet.
Right.
It does happen, though. You know, but
I don't know
too much about the healthcare. You do, Anne.
Yeah.
You work in
well,
I need
the
it.
The fact that they reached that compromise meant, of course, the clinic's still there, and it's still privately owned, but at the moment anybody can access it. You don't have to have money in your pocket to access it, but it's just kind of a little wedge in the door, I think. One of the continuing wedges, actually.
Right.
Yeah. There's some other healthcare news here.
For you people listening to 102.7 CFRO Co-op Radio, investing in health.
Are we due for another break, I think?
No.
No, not yet? Okay.
I don't know. We can do what we want.
All right. Well, there's a news item put out by BCGEU. That's the BC Government and Employees Services Union. And they have seniors' health care at risk at Windsor Manor in Kelowna. And they said the decision by Windsor Manor in Kelowna to fire its staff and recruit migrant workers has put the health of seniors at the facility in danger. According to the BCGEU, and we have reason to believe that essential service levels at the facility are not being met in a number of situations, the president said. This must be addressed by the health authority and the Minister of Health immediately. So, and another person who's been very vocal about that is the vice president of BCGEU, Laureen Oikawa. And we actually played an interview with her a few weeks ago on investing in health. We just played part of it because there's kind of a noise factor on
right.
it. And so I do have the transcribed things about that, and I could read that out, the part that we missed.
I've queued up if we want to do a station break first here.
Okay, let's do a
station
break.
I had to get queued up.
Animal voices. Celebrates the glory of the animal kingdom.
But the rise of factory farming of animals has created an appalling situation, so that every hour in Canada some 56,000 animals are killed for meat. They were mostly raised in inhumane conditions.
Your tax dollars fund government policies and programs that promote industrial livestock production, that puts family farmers out of business and wreaks havoc on the environment.
If you feel that all animals are sentient beings that feel pain and are capable of loving and being loved, this program is for you.
Animal Voices, Fridays at noon, Mondays at 4 p.m. on CFRO Co-op Radio 102.7 FM.
You perpetuate prejudice by color or creed. How watch you turn to me with a tear in your eyes, say, see, never cry. Do you think there'll ever be changes while we're still alive? Or do we look to the next generation to look back in horror?
That was See Never Dry, Solidarity Notes Choir. That was an appropriate song. I liked it. I haven't heard it before, Anne.
Yeah, it is. That's very pretty. Yeah.
See Never Dry. And oh, so, you know, keep just being aware and having compassion. And it's hard to stay positive and sometimes when we actually look at the scope of it, but we have to. And just see the good and keep going towards it and keep making the changes and believing they'll come. They will. We are evolving. I'm always on this evolving kick.
Right.
We
right.
are an evolving species, undoubtedly.
Yeah, we have to be.
So
you are listening to Investing in Health on CFRO Radio 102.7 FM.
Thanks for listening. We have very intelligent listeners.
Well, I was just saying before the latest break that we had interviewed Laureen Oikawa, who's vice president of the BCGEU, that union, and she had been talking about the firing of people at Windsor Manor in Kelowna. I'd just like to mention quickly, before I forget, that if you go to the BCGEU website, that's BCGEU, website, and then click on their convention and their speech. They had a panel talk by three panelists. One was Libby Davis. One was Jerry. I'm sorry, I don't know his last name. And another one was by telephone from Philippines, an activist called Annie Huron. So it's under temporary fighting for rights for temporary labor and human rights was the name of that panel discussion, and it's really really good. So if you're able to, you know, access that, it'd be well worth listening. Annie Huron, she had joined it by telephone because the Philippine government had not allowed her to leave the country to attend this convention. And she is a healthcare worker, a union activist in the Philippines, and where there's been a lot of political killings and martial law almost. And so she said some really, really good things, you know, and it's part of, you know, the international solidarity that people can join together, you know, even if they're prevented from traveling by the immigration department or their government, they can still, you know, they can't be stopped. So anyway, Laureen Oikawa, I was going to read out just a bit from an interview with her because we weren't able to hear all of it due to some interference. It was about a few weeks ago. So she said one of the situations I brought up was at a long-term care facility in Kelowna for seniors, where we have 70 BCGEU members there caring for seniors. The management of that facility was turned over to a private company called Advocare, and this company, using the odious Bill 29, told those 70 care aides that they are fired, and this happened September 20th. And not only have the care aides been fired, but the service for the seniors has deteriorated so that the Interior Health Authority is not sending any more new residents to that facility. Since the firing of the 70 care aides were told that if they want their jobs back, they would have to go, they would have to agree to taking a cut in pay, benefits, and also not belonging to a union. So effectively, again, using Bill 29, gutting the a collective agreement. And since their wage cap, if they take their jobs back, would be about 20%, and they had already gone through a rollback of their wages of 15% just after the 2001 agreement, quote-unquote. Hmm. She said, this is just overwhelming to think of all the closures and cuts that have happened since 2001. And she said, not only for our members, but we feel for the seniors, because to have seniors who are vulnerable, this is their security, to have caregivers who know them. Because bonds do form between caregivers and seniors. She said, and it's also been devastating on the morale of the caregivers, because this is why they went into that kind of work, because they really care. They're passionate about working with seniors. They love their jobs. And she said, in some places where this has happened, seniors have gotten sick and even died. And she said, the whole attitude of Bill 29, she said, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Hampton Court, a facility in Shaughnessy for mentally challenged residents, a beautiful heritage house, and they're in the process of trying to close it. And the residents say, this is our family, and they're pretty distraught. Just last week, one of the residents took his own life, and our union is calling for a coroner's inquest. And NDP MLA Greg Robertson is calling for a coroner's inquest. So at present, there has been a hold put on closing it. But the residents there are distraught, and so are the BCGEU members who work there, because, like I said, it's like a family. And they've told me they're breaking apart a home, both the BCGEU members and the residents. And when I asked Lorene what was the rationale they gave for closing this facility, she said, the line is that they want to move them into a, quote, more home-like modern environment. But that's what they've got right now. And even the owner wants to keep the home open. He's flexible and willing to do whatever the health authority wants in order to keep it open. So, and she goes on a little bit. And as the interview I mentioned, there was a public forum at the Vancouver Public Library last week, and it was brought up there that privatizing and cutbacks really do not save money in the end. And she said, definitely. And there's another program that greatly affects seniors, and that is the home support program. There have been drastic cuts in that area. She said, the home support workers are able to monitor the situation so that they can alert the family, the doctors or nurses about changes that happen with a senior and thereby prevent something evolving into an emergency situation necessitating a trip to the emergency. Then the senior is in the hospital, quote, taking up a bed. So this is one example of how cutbacks do not save money, but instead end up costing the system more money, not to mention, you know, the
they always cost more money.
Yeah. Invariably, I think it's always been shown that they always cost more money.
Just like highway expansion causes more congestion.
Yeah. So I mentioned to her, I said, you were at a panel that was about rights for temporary workers. Do you see any links between the two situations of the so-called temporary or guest workers and the healthcare workers who've been fired at Windsor Manor? And she said, yes, there is. She said, in the case of Windsor Manor in Kelowna, Advocare, one of the threats was that if the healthcare workers do not agree to take the cut in wages and benefits, then they would be hiring workers from the Philippines and India, not only care aides, but also nurses who would be working as care aides here. So that's one of our concerns. Not only are they gutting our collective agreements, lowering the standard for workers here, but also exploiting workers from other countries. And she clarified that, that it doesn't mean that they are against immigration. Many of our members have immigrated here, people within our own membership, with migrant workers. It's often the case their credentials aren't recognized. But it is blatantly unfair to pay wages that are not the going rate of wages paid to Canadian workers and then tell them that they not allow them permanent residency. So then I asked her if that's going to be an issue at the BCGEU convention that was coming up, and she said yes, it will be a topic, and that they are involved in a number of issues to do with migrant workers, working with the Public Services International on a national campaign, linking with groups in the developing countries to help them organize their workers and make sure their workers know their rights, and if they choose to come to Canada. We're also developing materials and process whereby those workers will be informed and know their rights so that they can't be taken advantage of by unscrupulous employers who say, don't complain or you'll be deported. And so our union is also working with the BC Federation of Labor and Affiliate Unions. And we're doing outreach with outreach training in our own union to reach out to temporary or guest workers and find out their experiences and offer resources. So that was
good work to everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks for everybody doing their little bits. Yeah. And lots of bits. And I don't know, in my life, off tangent, we have 1 minute left. My life has been in a little bit of turmoil for a little bit of time. And but you know, take a little piece of your life when you feel overwhelmed and do just one small, little tiny bit.
Right.
We can change a whole world just by starting.
Yeah.
We'll never
sure.
change unless we start. So you just go in it taking a step before you can fly. It's true, right?
Yeah.
Take a
right.
little step. And anybody out there now who's feeling overwhelmed at this time of year, I just want to encourage everybody, if you need to get help, reach out. It's a very hard time right now, so anybody out there who's depressed or feeling down or going through a struggle, hold on and have faith in somebody who's out there who cares. So, and write us if you want at investinginhealth@yahoo.ca.
Right, investinginhealth@yahoo.ca, or you can leave a number at our telephone number, 604-515-6694.
Thanks for listening, Investing in Health, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Listen to Sound Resistance on CNN.